It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. Sandy Rios with you, and could I just say Happy New Year. On the first day we're back on January 2021, what an incredible year we have had. And I know that many people are, you know, sending these memes around about pulling away 2020 and thank goodness it's gone. But I have to say, I believe this year has been precious in many ways. And I think in some ways we may look back on this with longing because fasten your seatbelts. It's going to get interesting. This is a very big week. And once again, I'm tasked with making very big, talking to you about very big things happening in a condensed version. And I'm pledged to do that. So let's just say this. Wednesday, of course, the Senate and the House will meet in a joint session. And they will determine whether or not to accept the electors. I'm going to go into that in greater detail in just a second. Tuesday, tomorrow, is an election in Georgia, which will determine who controls the Senate. So it's kind of a big deal. We'll talk more about that as well. And today, all kinds of people are doing all kinds of things to save the Republic. But I want to tell you that yesterday, Nancy Pelosi won the speakership of the House. She's been the Speaker of the House since 2008. And you might think, well, it was a done deal. You know, she was elected, but it was hard for her. It was a slug. At this point, the Democrats only hold a majority in the House of Representatives of something like 10 seats, and there are several in flux. So we're just kind of waiting to see, you know, where the next shoe is going to drop. And some of her caucus did not vote for her. They wanted someone more progressive. Of course, the Republicans did not vote for her. She barely won, but she did win. And, of course, she's very happy about that. But, of course, things are changing in Washington, and they're changing maybe faster than we would wish. I'll give you an idea of that. When they closed their session yesterday, one of the members, who's a reverend, Emmanuel Cleaver, ended with a prayer. I just want you to hear his prayer, clip six.
We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. Amen. And a woman.
All right, so a man and a woman, monotheistic God, know my many different names. Things are going to be different, and it's time that, and it's going to accelerate. It's not going to happen gradually. It's going to be huge. And that's why this week, when joint session of Congress, the House and the Senate, why their determination on Wednesday is so important. And that's why the election tomorrow for the two senators in Georgia, for the two Senate seats in Georgia, is so important. America really does hang in the balance. And there are two obvious ways it will go. And so you just got a taste of how the House is going to go. And I'll give you another taste of how the House is going to go. Leaders in the House of Representatives announced Friday a rules package for the 117th Congress that includes a proposal to use, quote, gender-inclusive language and eliminate gender terms such as father, mother, son, daughter, and more. Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Rules Committee Chairman James McGovern announced on Friday that the rules package includes changes that would, quote, honor all gender identities by changing pronouns and familial relationships in the House rules to be gender neutral. Changes to pronouns and familial relationships in the House rules to be gender neutral or remove references to gender as appropriate to ensure we are inclusive of all members, delegates, resident commissioners, and their families, including those who are non-binary. Terms to be struck in the House Code of Official Conduct include Father, mother, son, daughter, these are things they cannot say. Brother, sister, uncle, aunt, first cousin, nephew, niece, husband, wife, father-in-law, mother-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, stepfather, stepmother, stepson, stepdaughter, stepbrother, stepsister, half-brother, half-sister, grandson, and granddaughter. The terms would be replaced with parent, child, sibling, first cousin, sibling's child, spouse, parent-in-law, and on it goes. And they are boasting, Pelosi and McGovern, that this House of Representatives will be the most inclusive in history. The thing that I think about is all the people that I know who serve in the House, and there are some fine people there now. You know, the Republican conservatives really won almost every single race. And so they're going to be living in a miserable situation. But, you know, that's what your kids have been doing in public school, isn't it? So there you go. And already Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's from Georgia, who's a real firebrand, got into a fight with Nancy Pelosi because Pelosi changed the rules. I don't exactly understand this. This article doesn't explain this very well, Mrs. Fox. Basically, they got in a fight about wearing masks. And Marjorie Taylor Greene said Speaker Nancy Pelosi changed the COVID rules because she is desperate to cling to the gavel. No one can attack me about masks when Pelosi is sending Democrats to the floor with positive COVID tests to vote for her as Speaker. And she's referring to Congressman Gwen Moore of Wisconsin, who was tested positive on December 28th and was allowed to come onto the floor and vote. So, the rules don't matter for some people. All right, but let me give you some good news, because there is good news. And I'll start with this. Josh Hawley, just a few days ago, stepped out big time. This was January the 3rd. Trust me, I was thrilled about this. I've communicated with him how happy I am that he said he's going to object to the electors on Wednesday when the joint session of Congress. He's the first senator to actually commit himself to do that. And he said, so Pat Toomey came out right away, who is the senator from Pennsylvania, where so much of the egregious, the breaking of constitutional law happened, and where the case went to the Supreme Court and they denied it twice. They wouldn't even hear it, wouldn't even listen to it. So Toomey objects, and he said in a statement, "A fundamental defining feature of a democratic republic is the right of the people to elect their own leaders. The effort by Senators Hawley, Cruz, and others to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in swing states like Pennsylvania directly undermines this right." Okay, so you got Toomey, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania, doesn't want this thing to be challenged. Okay, Josh Hawley, the first champion to step out. But now there's another champion, and boy, is he a champion. It's Ted Cruz. And I wish I could play all of what he had to say, but this was him with Maria Bartiromo yesterday. Let's listen to Senator Ted Cruz, clip 8.
Look, we're at an extraordinary time in our country's history. We went into this election with the country deeply divided, deeply polarized, and we've seen in the last 2 months unprecedented allegations of voter fraud. And that's produced a deep, deep distrust of our democratic process across the country. I think we in Congress have an obligation to do something about that. We have an obligation to protect the integrity of the democratic system. And so this past week, I spent writing out a position and assembling a group that ultimately of 11 senators that we put out yesterday that we will together object to certification in order to force the appointment of an emergency electoral commission to perform an emergency audit of the election results to assess these claims of frauds. I think we can do that. We can do it promptly. We can do it in 10 days before the inauguration. But I think we have an obligation to the voters, and we have an obligation to the Constitution to ensure that this election was lawful.
All right, let me go into this a little bit more, because he certainly did. The recent poll by Reuters and Ipsos shows that 39% of Americans across the board believe the election was rigged. That belief is held by Republicans, 67% of them, by Democrats, 17%, and Independents, 31%. And based on that, Senator Cruz says, you know, we can't have this. We need an election commission. It's been done before. It was done in 1877. He goes into great detail about the alleged fraud in that election. So what the Congress did was they appointed this commission, and they gave them full investigatory and fact-finding authority, and it was five congressmen, five senators, and five Supreme Court justices. That's what they're calling for. And they're saying, we need a commission to support this. We can do it before January 20th. It's a 10-day audit, and this is what should happen, a fair and credible audit. Now, let me tell you, the senators that have signed on to this, at this point it looks like 11, I think 12 with Hawley. Hawley has a separate initiative. He's going to particularly focus on Pennsylvania and what happened there. That's what Pat Toomey was so upset with him. Yeah, now what? Why would Pat Toomey object to that? I don't know. Why wouldn't people want to know what the evidence is? Because if there's no evidence, then just move on. January 20th, Joe Biden is president. Why are they objecting so much? Yeah, so the senators that have signed on to this are Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, James Lankford, Oklahoma, Steve Daines, Montana, John Kennedy, Louisiana, Marsha Blackburn, Tennessee, Mike Braun, Indiana, Senators-elect Cynthia Lummis, Wyoming, Roger Marshall, Kansas, Bill Hagerty, Tennessee, Tommy Tuberville, Alabama. And the statement that they made is great. Actually, we'll put it on our Facebook page because I want you to read it. I'll read the last paragraph. These are matters worthy of the Congress and entrusted to us to defend. We do not take this action lightly. We are acting not to thwart the democratic process, but rather to protect it. And every one of us should act together to ensure that the election was lawfully conducted under the Constitution and to do everything we can to restore faith in our democracy. All right, so meanwhile, Ron Johnson was on with Chuck Todd yesterday, and I want you to hear this exchange because this is hostility coming at these senators. Clip 7.
All right, Senator, I want to quote Senator Ben Sasse for you, because what you're alleging is essentially you and your colleagues have created this controversy. So right now we are locked into a destructive, vicious circle in some ways, as you kind of outlined, except which is you made an allegation that there was widespread fraud. You have failed to offer specific evidence of that widespread fraud, but you're demanding an investigation on the grounds that there are allegations of widespread fraud. So essentially, you're the arsonist here. President Trump is the arsonist here. You've started this fire, and now you're saying, whoa, look at this. Oh, my God. All these people believe what we told them because you didn't have the guts to tell the truth that this election was fair.
Chuck, this fire was started back in January of 2017. People like Mark Zaid, in his tweet, the coup has started, first of many steps, rebellion and impeachment to follow ultimately. This was started when the mainstream media dropped any pretense of being unbiased and actually chose sides during this election. This fire was started when you completely ignored, for example, our investigation of Hunter Biden. You know, no evidence of wrongdoing there, and now we find out after the election, no, there is a fair amount of evidence to the point that we have a real FBI investigation.
Senator, so
I've had enough of this, too.
It's the bias in the media that has created a situation where
Republicans and conservatives do not trust the mainstream media, and that is what's has destroyed the credibility of the media and our institutions, and
the destruction
shaking confidence
of
in
the
election result. So I didn't start this.
Yeah, Ron Johnson, and then this is the kind of blowback these senators are getting. You can imagine, and I could spend the whole show telling you about payback to people that are fighting for President Trump. It's horrendous, but I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you that disappointing to me, with a capital D, is Senator Tom Cotton has just said last night he will not go along with this. He said it would establish unwise precedents, which makes no sense at all. To actually appoint a commission to see if there was voter fraud, to try to actually examine the evidence. None of the courts have even looked at the evidence, but Tom Cotton is objecting. So those of you in Arkansas might want to give him a piece of your mind right now. Let me just tell you, everylegalvote.com has a great video that illustrates the voter fraud in a concise way, because there's a lot of it. And so go to everylegalvote.com/demand. And it gives you a way to contact all of your congressmen and senators. I've actually already done that, and I'm recommending that, man, you load them up today. Everylegalvote.com/demand. And we'll put that on our Facebook page, everylegalvote.com/demand. I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan for Gender and Sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Claire Murray, Associate Attorney General of the United States. She provides advice and assistance for policies relating to civil justice, law enforcement, and public safety. Proverbs 19:20 reminds us of the importance of sound advice. Listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for Claire Murray in her work at the Department of Justice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
At Liberty University, we believe in honoring service. That's why we offer first responder and military communities deep discounts on all of our 450-plus online programs. Military students, veterans, and spouses pay just $250 per credit hour for undergraduate and $275 to $300 per credit hour for graduate and PhD courses. First responders receive a 25% tuition discount, and those who qualify may be able to use both discounts for even greater savings. It's our way to say thank you for all you do. To learn more, text AGREE to 49595.
When Stalin and Lenin and Castro came to power, one of the first things they did was draft blacklist names of their political enemies. Many were imprisoned, sent to gulags and work camps. So you can understand why more than a few eyebrows were raised when many prominent Democrats said they wanted to punish members of the Trump administration. Slate magazine called for Trump advisor Stephen Miller to be arrested. A former member of Pete Buttigieg's campaign actually started a website where people can post the names of anyone who worked with or supported the Trump administration. The Trump Accountability Project, that's what they're calling it. Arrest the president, that's what Keith Olbermann says. AOC says Trump supporters should face public scrutiny. I'm not sure what that means, jail time or public shaming, who knows. That being said, one day don't be surprised if I'm broadcasting this commentary from a gulag. Be sure to download my free podcast, listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, streaming online at toddstarnes.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
It's not enough to decriminalize marijuana. Somebody's got to open up the jails and let our children go. Faith-filled praise ought to erupt every now and then into fierce protest.
America, nobody can serve God and the military. America, choose ye this day whom you will serve.
We celebrate Reverend Wright in the same way that we celebrate the truth-telling tradition of the black church.
Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, I give to you the hero of the struggle of people throughout the world, Comandante Fidel Castro.
We celebrate John Lewis. He was wounded for America's transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, we are healed.
That was Raphael Warnock, who hopes to be the next senator from Georgia. We've not spent a lot of time talking about him because there's been so much election chaos, but we have to talk about him because the election is tomorrow. Raphael is a pastor, a black pastor, And he is one of those, from my perspective, it's really hard. You have to be really steeped in Scripture and God's Word. There are so many black and white pastors out there who are speaking things that sound like religious, they sound Christian, they use the right language, but at the heart, there's no relationship. It's very frightening to me. And so Raphael is running tomorrow. He that little clip, one sub clip in there, you found him praising Fidel Castro, the communist leader of Cuba. And so with that, let's talk to Jenny Beth Martin. Jenny is the founder of Tea Party Patriots. She is from Georgia, and so she's right in the middle of all that's been happening in Georgia. And first of all, Jenny, good morning and Happy New Year.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for having me, and Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners.
Yeah, so I did already explain that both the Senate seats are up tomorrow in Georgia. And so you've got two really radical leftists, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, running against Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. So what's happening down there, Jenny Beth? What does it look like to you?
It's one of those elections where everything is on the line. It's the only election happening, so it's nonstop, back-to-back, wall-to-wall advertisements, yard signs, and you just cannot escape the election. I think that it's going to come down to turnout, and whichever side gets their base out to vote the most are the ones who are likely to win this election. And we had, by New Year's Eve, I believe over 2 million people who have already voted in this election. Over a million absentee ballots were mailed out. That's partly because they were mailed out. They're being mailed out automatically based on applications were filled out earlier in the year. And I think that tomorrow I think a lot of people will wind up voting in person tomorrow. Probably more so, I don't know if it'll be a larger number, but maybe the percentage-wise might be a little bit more than what we saw in the general election. I say that because I tried to absentee vote twice, and I just simply, in the middle of Christmas time, did not have over an hour to stand in line waiting outside to vote. And I went by two different times and the line was just so long. It was like, well, I can go around the corner from my house Tuesday morning and be done in 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see a lot of people, especially moms like me, who during the middle of Christmas, you don't have the time to put an hour into standing in line somewhere.
I just heard, actually, Jenny Beth, an update on that. I heard last night that 3 million early votes have been cast, so it's been updated. And I've heard that $500 million has been pumped into Georgia for these races. I also heard that 8,000 poll workers have been recruited. But here's the thing, Jenny Beth, Republican leaders seem, to me, kind of confident that they're going to pull this off. Do you share their confidence?
I don't have a crystal ball, so I just don't know. All I know is everything is on the line. This is the difference between whether our country is going to become a socialist country or whether we maintain any resemblance to a country that cherishes our Constitution. It is all on the line tomorrow in Georgia. And I think that we just have to understand that if anyone listening in your audience picking up the phone and calling anyone you know in Georgia and explaining to them the importance of going to vote and how you think they need to vote, which is for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, for people who respect the Constitution, for people who don't cheer for a communist dictator when a communist dictator comes to America. Those are the kind of people who we need in the United States Senate. And remind them that you're voting for senators who will represent Georgia, but you're also voting for the direction of the country.
Yeah. I was just reading yesterday, new to me, maybe not new to everyone, John Ossoff's deep connections with China. Some of that stuff is just beginning to come out. And so it is really troubling. Jenny Beth, now you've got all kinds of people there in Georgia, and actually I want to get to this because I want to talk to you about the hearings last week and all of that. But You have people up there in down there who are upset by your Secretary of State and your governor, and upset by the lack of response, upset by the legislature not stepping up to the plate. And many of them don't feel much like voting tomorrow. What would you say to them?
I understand all of those frustrations. I share them, and I have served on the Trump legal team as the only non-attorney for the legal team here in Georgia. I know what the problems are, and I understand their concerns. The one way we can guarantee that we lose, the one way we can guarantee that we don't preserve Trump's legacy, and the one way we can guarantee that our country goes in the wrong direction is by none of us showing up to vote. At least when we vote, we have a fighting chance. I cannot guarantee everything that's going to happen with election integrity, but I can guarantee if we don't vote, we don't win, and we have to go vote. And the other thing is this, even the people who are like me, who are frustrated with this, with the exception of some people who don't vote in primaries, who haven't always been voters who always vote Republican, I don't think that people are going, the people who I'm talking to in Georgia are saying, well, I'm angry, so I'm not going to go vote. The media has made this a narrative that they want to talk about. And we know how the media works. Why is the media doing that? Why do we believe the media on this narrative when we don't believe them on all these other things that they say? I think it's because the media has an underlying agenda, and the mainstream media. But yes, there have been a few people who have said, don't go vote if they don't do anything about it. Well, the fact is the voters understand, and we know we have to vote.
Yeah, let me just say this. It reminds me, sometimes in our personal lives, we get angry with businesses, with clerks, with whoever we're talking to, and we, you know, feel like, well, I'm going to, you know, take away my business, or I'm going to do this or that to sort of feel like we've done something in response. But often when we make those choices, we hurt ourselves. So that one, you have to think of proportion. And so when people think about not voting tomorrow, they think about maybe getting back at Mitch McConnell, getting back at establishment Republicans, showing them, which there's a huge part of many of us that feel like we would be inclined to do that. But the truth is that you will be hurting yourself and your family and your future. This really is as serious as Jenny Beth is saying. These are two radical leftists who will tip the Senate in the leftward direction. Chuck Schumer will be obviously be the leader then. And it will be, I just started the program, Jenny Beth, by talking about the new proposed rules in the House about gender. You can't say man and woman and husband and wife. They're changing all of those rules for the House. And that's exactly what's going to happen throughout the Capitol. It would be things like that, only worse. And so that's why it's imperative that you don't try to have a snit here that's going to hurt you and your family for the future. That's my advice. I want to talk to you about the hearing that took place last week. It was December 30th. I actually watched almost all of it, Jenny Beth. I can't believe I found the time to do that, but I did. It was the Georgia State Senate, and it was stunning. It was stunning, and I would love, there were all kinds, let me just give an overview. The data, at least, this is part of it. The data showed that over 30,000 of President Trump's votes were removed and another 12,173 switched to Biden. And that's just one part of it. I was moved by the sincerity and passion of the people testifying, professionals. There was an attorney, Jenny Beth, who his lips were quivering. You know, he's been in court a million times, but his voice was quivering because he was so passionate about this. All right, so I've said enough. What are your thoughts about that hearing?
Well, I think that the really important thing to understand about the hearing that we were watching last week is that almost every single person who got up to testify was a professional who was looking at the system and saying, it's my professional opinion that there are problems here, and these are the problems that I see. What people may not know is that I used to program computers. I program computers and wound up becoming a project manager for Fortune 100 companies. And I went to school for that. And later in life have this second career path. But I have looked at the system, the process in Georgia, and I am not talking about looking at Dominion. There are some issues with Dominion, but I'm talking about the entire process from beginning to end, from requesting your absentee ballot to everything all the way until it is scanned through and the scanner may not catch it and read it properly and it needs to be scanned through more than one time. That entire process is open to devious people doing devious things. Yes, that exists. It is also open to well-intentioned people who are imperfect human beings making mistakes. And that is the thing that has blown me away in the process in Georgia, is that the system does not have enough safeguards in it when there are mistakes that are made. And you had information technology professionals, you have people who have audited systems, you have people who are experts with programming computers who are coming in and saying, I've audited systems in my professional life, and these are the problems that I saw when I was there firsthand. And it is similar to my own experience, and I've been part of auditing information technology systems, and I've seen problems as well. There are very clearly major problems in Georgia, and the most astonishing thing to me is that at near the very end, a person came back on and he had something more to say, and he said that his people were inside of one of the early voting locations and had essentially hacked into the system and compromised the poll pads. It is important for your audience to understand that in Georgia, the poll pads are not Dominion software. So they were not talking about hacking into Dominion. That part where they said they got into the poll pads, talking to boards, to people who work for the election offices around Georgia, they have told me repeatedly in different parts of the state that they think that is one of the most vulnerable parts of our system. And here's a man who said, while we're sitting here today, I have people right now who have gotten into the poll pads in Fulton County, Georgia. And I was like, oh my goodness, he hacked it live. And I think that's lost on people, or people have misconstrued it and said that it was Dominion when it was not. And in doing that, we have to be precise when we're making these kind of accusations, or if we don't know, then just saying, I'm not sure which system it was, and here's what happened, we need to figure out which system it is. Because when we're not precise, the left and even the Republicans who are generally on our side will come back and say, well, you don't know what you're talking about, you're just wrong.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I heard was pretty profound and moving, and didn't have to do with just software, although I guess I'm not ready to let Dominion off the hook, Jenny Beth, but you're right there. So Dominion's suing everybody on the planet, so we have to be careful. Let me just say, Rudy Giuliani, I wondered what happened as a result of that committee. I was a little unclear when they dismissed. And Rudy says that they issued a report demonstrating the vote was stolen, that the vote was unanimous and bipartisan to audit Fulton County's absentee ballots, which Raffensperger failed to do, which was the request. And also, Rudy says that they voted to decertify Biden. Jenny Beth, can you hang over the break with me just for a minute?
Sure.
Because I want to get your response to this, and also I want to talk to you about the Raffensperger President Trump call that the Washington Post published yesterday, because as you know, it's very controversial, and now they're trying to suggest that President Trump has done something that's impeachable or some such thing. So I want to know your thoughts about that, if you can stay with me. My guest is Jenny Beth Martin, Tea Party Patriots. Jenny's been on the front line of all these issues for so many years, and she is from Georgia, so this is her home state, and that's why we're talking about this today together. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
In Ventura County, they are prohibiting the church from meeting.
Focal point.
You can do secular stuff. That's fine. But if you're going to start providing spiritual nutrition, that's a horse of a different color.
With Brian Fisher.
People can receive counseling to find work, but they cannot be counseled to find eternal life.
Weekdays at 1 Central on American Family Radio.
Obviously, everything in the world wrong with that.
After a hard day of being a mom, Wendy would often grab a handful of chocolate chips or a brownie. It seemed like a harmless habit until she realized she was turning to sugar instead of God for emotional comfort. On the next Focus on the Family, Wendy shares about why your relationship with God and food may be more connected than you think. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. According to the World Health Organization, abortion was the leading cause of death worldwide in 2018. As of December 31st, 2018, 41.9 million babies were murdered in the womb. That's more than the 8.2 million people who died from cancer, more than the 5 million who died from smoking, and more than the 1.7 million who died from HIV/AIDS in 2018 globally combined. Thomas Jefferson once said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Lord, please strengthen us to abolish this wickedness."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. There is no heartache deeper than the heartache of couples who long to have children but can't. But there is hope. Scripture is full of stories of women who miraculously conceived by the power of God. In Judges 13, we meet Manoah, whose wife was barren, but the angel of the Lord appeared to her one day and said, "You shall conceive and bear a son." Manoah prayed and asked God, "Teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born," and the Bible says God listened to the voice of Manoah. God blessed them with a baby and taught them how to raise him to pursue God's purposes in his life. If you are childless, never give up hope that one day God will answer the deepest cry of your heart. And if he gives you a child, raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then watch what God will do.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 1:05 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. For 2 months now, the American people have been force-fed an outrageous lie to the effect that there is absolutely no evidence of fraud in the 2020 presidential race. Now, thanks to our friends at EveryLegalVote.com, we have easy access to what's actually abundant evidence that electoral grand larceny is in fact underway in this election. And once equipped with such evidence, folks like us have taken nearly 30 million actions aimed at restoring integrity to the process of choosing our next commander-in-chief. The facts are presented powerfully in a half-hour video by Kevin Freeman, running since New Year's Day as an infomercial. You can see it at EveryLegalVote.com and take action there to ensure that your elected representatives do the same. And, more importantly, that they act on January 6th to ensure that the only votes that count are legal ones. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more that we have, because we won the state. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines.
This is Ryan Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County.
Have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure.
Well, that's a very interesting phone call that the Washington Post published yesterday between the Secretary of State of Georgia, Raffensperger, and his attorney, Ryan Germany, and President Trump. And somehow it ended up with the Washington Post. Can't imagine how. And, of course, they want you to hear that excerpt. They're saying that the president has done something illegal by asking Raffensperger to find 12,000 votes. Of course, it's taken out of context. And actually, I may spend longer talking about this tomorrow. But Jenny Beth, I just want to know what your thoughts are about that phone call.
I think that it's very, very important to understand that in Georgia, after certification, you have 5 days as a candidate to file a legal challenge to an election. It is within our Georgia election code. The president has done that. He did it within the time frame, and we have waited for a month today. I think this was filed on December 4th, so it's been a month. It may have been December 3rd. There still is no judge that has been assigned. In Georgia, according to the election law, if you show irregularities, improper voting, people who could not vote, who would have voted, but there were issues with voting, so problems, so fraud and problems and irregularities, it is not just limited to fraud. If you can show that in a number that is greater than the margin of victory, the election must be, and you can prove it, you have to be able to prove it, you then, the election has to be, it's thrown out, and the remedy under Georgia law is to redo the election. The president's case has listed people who voted who don't live in Georgia anymore, listed people who voted, but they were improperly voting because they had moved within the state, people who were improperly registered to vote, felons who voted, and a few other categories that total over 40,000 votes. There are tens of thousands of votes. He doesn't have to be right on every single one. He has to be right on the number that he just mentioned, one more than the margin of victory. The person who actually has the data to either validate what we think is wrong or to prove us wrong, one way or the other, is the Secretary of State's office. They have the data, and we cannot get access to that data. And that's what the president is trying to figure out. Let us see it. Let us figure out if we're right or wrong. And because we haven't had a judge, the president has not had his day in court. And I think that a lot of that phone call is frustration because we've had stonewalling from the court system. And the Secretary of State claims things and says things in a press conference, but he's not doing it in a courtroom, and he's not doing it where he's being transparent with the evidence.
I have this is not factual, this is my impression. I listened to a lot of that phone call, and Raffensperger and Ryan Germany sound pinched and disingenuous to me. I encourage people to listen to the entire thing and judge for yourself whether the president is just simply asking the Secretary of State to find one more vote than he needs. That is that is lifting out a phrase taken out of context that the president goes after Raffensperger and, respectfully, and Ryan Germany, questioning them. His command of the facts is pretty amazing to me. And now, Jenny, I just heard from a friend that, and I haven't read this, but I've heard that Georgia, as in response to that hearing that we talked about before the break, have actually been shredding Georgia ballots. Is that true?
I can't answer that. What I heard, it's rumor, I haven't seen it, but there was a shredding machine, a shredding company that went to the World Congress Center on the night of the hearing late in the evening. But even if they went to the World Congress Center, I don't think ballots are at the World Congress Center. They would have had to go to the warehouse where ballots are stored. So I just don't know. I don't know. And that's why I mentioned earlier, we have to be precise or just admit that we don't know. And I don't, I, I've heard things online, but I don't know if what I've heard is correct or not.
I get you, and I agree with you. I agree with you that we have to be very accurate and precise. It doesn't serve anyone to be careless. Let me just ask you, though, go back to Rudy Giuliani's tweet, where he said that the committee last Wednesday, I think it was, voted to decertify Biden, and the vote was unanimous and bipartisan to audit Fulton County's absentee ballots. Is that true?
I think there was a vote to audit Fulton County's ballots. I think there was a letter about decertifying, but I was texting trying to find that out during the break, and I'm not 100% positive about that part. The important thing here to note is, one, they do think that the Fulton County needs to be, that there needs to be a forensic audit of the ballots themselves based on evidence that was presented. But the other thing is this, it's a subcommittee, so it's not the full Senate, and we really need the full Senate and the full House in Georgia and also in Pennsylvania and Arizona either to approve formally a second set of electors or informally sign a letter saying that they support a second set of electors from each state. And we need that to happen in the next 36 hours.
My understanding, after looking at Ted Cruz's initiative and the 11 other senators, and actually I understand there may be more senators joining them. I hope so. That after they had this joint session on Wednesday and senators object and members of the House object, and we think there are over 100 of them that are going to object, that when they go to their separate chambers to debate, this I did not know, Jenny Beth, it sounds like they're going to have a two-hour debate on every single state they're objecting to. I thought it was 2 hours, plainly 2 hours, but I read yesterday that it's going to be 2 hours per state that they're challenging. So, Ted last night, or Senator Cruz, seemed to indicate that that the opportunity then, or the expectation, is that if they find evidence that things were untoward in any of the states, that the states then are going to have to go back and revisit what they've certified. So I know no one really knows how this is going to happen, but I thought that was very interesting.
It is interesting, but I think that even Senator Cruz understands that what he's doing is a long shot and that right now he doesn't have the majority support even of the Senate. What he's doing right now is unprecedented, meaning it hasn't happened this way before. They're trying to go back to a situation as close to this in our country's history, but there is not one that is exactly like this, where so many states are being challenged in their issues in as many states as we currently face. So it will be interesting to see how this all works. And yesterday I even heard something that the two-hour rule may not be exactly right, and that each member is supposed to be given 5 minutes each, which is way more than 2 hours. So I think there's still procedurally some issues that are still being worked out, and they're going through these issues with the parliamentarian even today.
Well, I found it interesting, Jenny Beth, that Mitch McConnell has not weighed in responding to Senator Cruz's initiative. He's been silent on that, which in a time when there's not much hope, gives me hope that he hasn't come right out criticizing it or condemning it. Because really, he is he's our only hope. The Senate rules can be bent any which way, you know, and he's a rules master. And so if he should clamp down and not allow this thing to transpire the way Senator Cruz and the other 10 wanted, and Josh Hawley also, he could do that. He could stop this. But I find myself wondering if he's not, is it possible that maybe he's having second thoughts about trying to talk senators out of objecting? I'm holding out that hope anyway.
Um, I Yes, I haven't heard anything from Leader McConnell since Ted Cruz's announcement I know a few weeks ago, a couple weeks before Christmas even, McConnell was saying, well, now we have to accept Biden and move on. And I'm trying to give McConnell the benefit of the doubt and not just throw him under the bus, which I have been prone to do in the past. So I think that he's doing what he thinks is right based on the way elections have always worked in this country. And that's a fair thing for the leader to do. And he also probably needs much more evidence than what he has seen. And I would suspect that he has not read the court cases or actually looked at the affidavits that have been filed. I would urge him to do that.
I find, Jenny Beth, the ignorance of people in the Beltway is astounding to me on this. And they write and they pontificate and they declare, but they really haven't seen any of it. They sort of echo to one another their opinions. But in all these hearings that, and I know you've watched a lot of them too, the ones in Georgia were stunning last week. The ones in Arizona were, the ones in Wisconsin were, the ones in Pennsylvania were. You cannot listen to those hearings and hear citizens who have sworn on penalty of perjury what they have seen in these elections. You cannot help but be moved and motivated to do something. And I don't think, probably, you're right, that Senator McConnell has not seen that. Most of the senators probably have not seen that, and that is what we're hoping for Wednesday when Ted Cruz objects and the other 10 or so senators do as well. All right, well, any final thoughts from you before I say goodbye?
Two things. If you're in Georgia, vote, and urge anyone you know in Georgia to go vote for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. And the second thing is help us put pressure on the state legislators in Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia, at the very least, to sign a letter saying that they support a second set of electors. We need that letter in the hands of the members of Congress by Wednesday morning.
Are you saying write individual letters, or is there a letter to sign on to?
Right now, there is no letter in any of the three seats, but I think that it's worth melting the phone lines and demanding that they do a letter and that they sign a letter. It's disorganized right now, but that's what I was told late last night we needed.
Yeah. Everylegalvote.com/demand is an action, as a place to take action that will contact all of your senators, the state reps, all of them. It makes it easy. I hate to say easy because I actually think we need to do some hard things right now, but this one can be accomplished in very little time. It's everylegalvote.com/demand. And also, there's a 30-minute video on there that consolidates all the accusations of election fraud that is helpful to pass on, to use. And so we need to, it's all hands on deck. And remember the election tomorrow morning in Georgia tomorrow. And think about what's at stake, and a little less about your anger and a little bit more about what's at stake for the country. And so Jenny Beth Martin, Tea Party Patriots. Jenny Beth, thank you for so much of your time this morning. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, Sandy Rios. Boy, I told you it's going to be a busy week. Please go to our Facebook page. We'll have links to a lot of these things that you that will be useful to you. And then, of course, don't forget to go on your knees and ask God. We need to ask Him. You know, God does His best work when there seems to be no hope, doesn't He? And then we're sure about He doesn't like to share credit when He intervenes, and so we're happy to give Him the credit and the glory. So let's pray for His help. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.